The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Another parable Jesus put before the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore and sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So Paul provides us remarkable information, and this is not worthy of a brief overview, but that's what you're going to get. The first thing is this whole thing about prayer. So prayer is not primarily giving God a to-do list. If God is doing what you want him to do, then you're both in trouble. All right, what Paul says is you don't know how to pray to us. You don't know how to pray. Let the Spirit pray. So spend less time yammering and spend more time letting God look into your heart to see what you truly desire. Because you don't know what you truly desire. That explains your whole life and all the messes, okay? You go after the wrong stuff because rather than seek what you're really looking for, you look for the counterfeit that is available. He also talks about everything works out. So this is the act of faith. That when you look at your life, it's called redemption. God redeems. It's not that he pre-plans everything in your life and has terrible things happen to you for your benefit. It's that he can find a way to take whatever happens in this crazy world and bring it together for your transformation into the image of God. Because that's what you're predestined for. I'm not going to get involved with all that theological debate for minds greater than mine. This simple person believes that if you look at Genesis, it says he made humans in his image and likeness. Humans means everybody. And when he says you're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that's what he's talking about. That's what I think. The great theologians can then tell me how I'm wrong. But fundamentally, what we're called to be is children of God, because that's what the image of a father is. And Jesus is the perfect image, and what we're called to be is the image of Jesus. And then Paul just asks the question, because the relationship you're talking about there is love, union of love. He said, well, what's going to keep that from happening? And he makes a list. If you look at the list, all those things happen to him. So it's not a college professor speculating on things. It's a guy who's been through it, who has had sword and famine and all those terrible things that happened to him. And he's been brought to the point of death on multiple times. And he's constantly under threat. And he says this, all the bad stuff that's happened in my life cannot separate me from the love of God. And I would say, although many of us have had troubles, our lives are probably not to that extent. So nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. But he does leave out the one loophole. You can. You can keep yourself from the love of God because God's always going to give it, but you can refuse it. And that's why we'll look briefly at the parables as well. So Matthew 13 is, I think, one of the five books. It parallels the five books to Torah, that Matthew in his gospel is kind of creating this Jesus as Moses thing. And one of the books there is, I mean, you have the Sermon on the Mount. That's the easy one. Then you have this thing on teaching of how disciples are going to go. Well, one of them is all the parables. They're all collected together. And we're reaching the end of the parables chapter. So he's kind of made sense of why is the world the way the world is. And he says, well, because God's thrown a seed and there's all these different kinds of people, the beaten path and all that. And last week, you got that one of my favorite parables. He talks about, you know, God created this good world and then there's an enemy at work. And so all these people think they're so, you know, let me stab you Christians with this. Why is the world so bad if God is so good? And you say, well, Jesus said because God sowed good seed and the enemy sowed bad seed. And he said, we're going to wait to the end to sort it out. Period. End of discussion. That's why. Now, you may not like it, but that's the plan that he came up with for creation. It's called freedom. Well, what we have today is more discussion about seed. So the first thing Jesus answers is the question, why isn't God more obvious? Right? I mean, do you ever listen to these really, they're supposed to be erudite thinkers who talk about why they don't believe in God? And it's stuff like, well, if he showed up, I would believe. Well, here's what Jesus said. God, the kingdom is God at work among us. God's activity among us is like this little tiny seed. Now, it's grown into something amazing. You know, like the 12 apostles would point out, they became billions of people. I mean, it shaped Europe. I mean, we've made the turn for apocalyptic reasons, perhaps. But the reality is Western culture is based on a handful of Jewish guys. And the greatest successes of our culture is based on that. So this little seed grows. Or he said the way yeast works. And it's ironic because yeast is generally viewed as a bad thing, right? Unleavened bread. And so Jesus always loves, you know, the Samaritans, the good. He loves to turn things around. So he's saying, look at yeast. Like, you put it into this dough and then it rises and becomes these large loaves. And the reference to, what, three measures? That's what Abraham told Sarah to make when he had the three visitors. It's a lot of bread. And so what Jesus is saying here is, yeah, God's not super obvious unless if you look for him. Which brings us to the next two parables, which is what? A guy searching through a field, trips over something, digs it up, finds out it's a treasure chest. All right? So it'd be like someone says, you want to buy this car, and you open the glove compartment, and there's $1 million in it. You say, yeah, I would like to buy this car. How much is it? I'll give you whatever I got because I don't have a million, right? So the guy who buys the house, that's what he does. Well, of course, the treasure is also code word for Torah, God's self-revelation, as are pearls. In fact, the biblical model that I prefer to use is called stringing pearls. It's where you find a word in one context and then you find it in other places and you bring them all together. It's called stringing pearls. That's what they call them, the rabbis. So this treasure pearl thing is referring to what really matters. And here's what we screw it. See, we embrace our poverty. What do you spend most of your day doing? I mean, I've asked this question 1,000 times. How much time do you spend praying before you come to church versus how much time do you spend getting dressed? Like, we would never go to church looking shabby, at least most of us. But we won't spend the same amount of time working on that connection. We will spend endless hours cleaning our house because we're having visitors coming over. But we spend countless seconds preparing for God to come to us. And it's because we're so screwed up, we don't know the right thing. And we all do it. We all do it. We find our faith life generally boring. Not everyone, but most of us. And so it's a discipline. We can get. I'm going to struggle to do it. But we find enjoyment in like a football game or going out shopping or going to, you know, there's all these things we do that are basically really second and third and fourth level. And that's what Jesus says, when you're searching, Look for the right thing and then act accordingly when you find it. I hate to break the news to you, but with one exception, we ain't got much time left on planet Earth. We do not have much time. So get ready and prepare to live in the kingdom. Whatever else you think is important, haven't you figured out by now it's not? Your body's not functioning anymore, is it? It's not working anymore. So why do you think this is the single most important thing? It's not. He's going to fix it. He's going to repair it. But the most important thing is the kingdom, which brings us to the last story. And as you know, there's an element in our church, I'm not saying here, but there's an element in our church that doesn't like much of what Jesus has to say. And they sure don't like this thing about fire. And I guarantee you, there's any number of priests in our church and in other churches, whatever they got, preaching in their things, whatever their ministers are called, and they're going to say, oh, no, 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 no. We don't want this fire and damnation thing. Right? See, I'm going to offer an alternative. Everyone in here is going into the fire. Everyone. And why do I say that? Because I've happened to read the Bible, and you have too. So everyone here is going to be able to answer this question. Moses was walking through the desert, and he saw a bush. And what was in the bush? Come on, say it.
Fire.
You all know that. Don't act like you don't know. You knew that. You made pictures when you were 4 years old of the fire. What was on top of the mountain when Moses was up on the mountain? Fire. And what happens over and over when God appears? Fire. What led him through the desert? Fire. In the New Testament, it says our God is a living fire. God's a fire. And why is fire the fundamental divine attribute you read about? Because fire takes things that are different and turns them into itself. I can turn a stick into fire by throwing a stick into fire. And that's what communion with God is. So if you love God, at the end of time, you're going to be in the fire, which is God, and it's going to be transformative. And it's going to burn out anything that doesn't belong there. Paul says this. Paul said it. We're all going to pass through the fire. This ain't just me being Catholic up here. All right. I know some of you think, I know he's tricky. He's trying to trick us into this. But it's from Paul. We're all going to pass through the fire. It's going to be transformed. John the Baptist says, we're all going to pass through the fire. We who love God, and I'm assuming everyone here does, we who love God will go through that process and be transformed into union with God in the fire. What happens if you resist it? It's going to be experienced as torment. Because the flames are the flames of God's love. And if you don't open yourself and submit to it, what happens is the resistance is the cause of pain. Because you can't escape it. Because God is fire. Now, I know that's not exactly what it says, and I'm willing to admit that. But fundamentally, what I understand is the core traditional teaching of spirituality in the West and in the East is what Jesus is talking about here, alluding to, is our destiny. So what's the purpose of this church? The purpose of this church among, we're supposed to worship and study and all that. But the fundamental purpose of this church is for us to be connected to one another and with God. And that word theosis or divinization, those are the words we use. But it's to become children of God. And the primary way you do that is in communion. What Jesus always talks is how you treat other people. So you can't do it alone or in the woods or do it better by yourself. You cannot do it better by yourself. Because left by yourself, you are just a broken, wounded person. And you need to be with the other broken, wounded persons. Because if enough of us get together, that's where the magic happens. So that's the purpose. So what I'm going to tell you is, Jesus is saying, you got to get serious about this. You got to get real serious about this. And time is short. Time is short. So stop messing around. Get focused. And what do you have to do? Da, 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 da. Pray. Read the Bible. Learn to love the people around you. Help out the poor and needy. Amen.